Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
The Last Word on Today FM.
Tonight we're joined by Dave Hannigan and Lawrence Donegan, two longtime contributors to The Last Word, both of whom live in the United States. I'm going to start with you, Lawrence, because when you were with us a fortnight ago telling us about your Goodbye Donald Substack blog, you were very confident about Kamala Harris's chances based on all of the conversations you were having with people as you drove through the swing states. Has your confidence been maintained or is it ebbing?
It's maintained and perhaps even increasing a little bit, Matt, I think. Again, it's all vibes, I'll admit that. But the polls and the betting market say something different, although there's very, very tight. I mean, it's within, you know, it's a 52-48 split. And well, I think the betting markets are a bit more towards Trump. But my sense is that, I mean, I go back to the story I told you the last time. My sense is that the Republican Party, or Trump, doesn't have a ground game. And I think that's going to matter in the seven swing states a great deal. And I think the women's vote has been underestimated. I'll go back, I don't know if people remember, we used to talk about shy Tories. Actually covered the 1992 election when they thought that Neil Kinnock was going to become the British Prime Minister, and it turned out that John Major won that election because of that section of voters called the shy Tories. I think this time around there are shy Harris supporters, and I think a lot of them are women. If you go to, I mean, it's quite stark. You go to a Trump rally, you know, it's a kind of 75-25 split in terms of gender. You go to a Harris rally, and it's even more the opposite way. And the problem for Trump is that women vote in a much higher propensity than men do. So, yeah, I'm still confident.
Not wishful thinking. Just define for me what you mean by ground game as well. Because, you know, we had a lot of these political cliches. What do you mean by that?
Well, it just means that it's very much an American thing. It's a part of the American political tradition. It's phone banking. It's calling people. Have you voted? Are you going to vote? Who are you going to vote for? It's a case of trying to identify people who are your supporters. You then identify those people. Are you going to knock on people's doors? You identify, are they going to vote? They say, are they going to vote for you? They say yes, okay. And then what you do, you then follow up and you make sure the people that you said they would vote for you have actually voted. It's a very, very important part of the kind of process here. And it really is in these swing states, because they are very, very tight. It's the difference between, say, Joe Biden winning Arizona by 12,000 votes and Donald Trump winning it by 12,000 votes. The last time Biden won it, it's the difference between winning Pennsylvania, where I am today, winning that by 50,000 votes or losing it by 50,000 votes. And the Harris campaign has that in spades. You go anywhere in the country or any of the swing states, it's quite astonishing the difference in the ground game, and that's why it matters.
But Dave Hannigan, I wonder, does this so-called ground game matter as much as it used to, particularly in the social media era? Because I've been listening to podcasts from the States who suggest that, yes, the Democrats are out, they're knocking doors, but they're not been answered. Or that when they are answered, that they're often getting surprising outcomes, in that people are telling them that they would have expected to be Harris supporters, that they're voting for Trump. Could it be that if Trump doesn't even have that support out there going door to door, he doesn't need to, because he's reaching all of these people via various social media outlets?
Actually, there's just practicalities to it, Matt, especially in certain areas. Get out the vote literally means get out the vote. And, you know, I hear people here talking about, what is your plan? Well, you know, tell me your plan to vote. How are you going to vote? There's minibuses laid on, stuff like that, that the Trump campaign, you know, again, from the reports that we get across the country, and Lawrence is obviously traveling the country right now, so he's seeing this, is that they're not putting in the money, and they're not paying paying the volunteers sounds like a misnomer, but people get paid to do this stuff. And I when I saw Lara Trump's involvement in the Republican Party, when she was given a position of power, I actually thought that was earlier this year. I thought that was a fantastic thing for Democrats because they won't put the money in. It costs money, and it literally is about physically getting people from their couches to the polling place. And a lot of people, as we know, they will say one thing, but will they turn out to vote?
Dave, we've spoken about these elections over the years, and I was with you in the States in 2016 and again afterwards in 2017. And although you live in, would it be fair to say, more upstate New York, and New York is very much Democratic, are you getting a sense of an increased support for Trump that won't carry the home state for him, but that if it transfers to other states could get him over the line?
Well, firstly, actually, I live on Long Island, which is kind of an offshoot of the city, which is firm Trumplandia or Trumpistan, whatever you want to call it. The county I live in, Suffolk County, is a solid Trump area. And again, this is all anecdotal stuff or vibe stuff. As Lauren said, I see far more Harris signs out here than I ever saw Biden signs in 2020. Now, Harris is not going to win my home county, the same way Donald Trump is not going to win New York State. But I see the Harris signs, and I see also out here in a kind of a rapidly Trump area where we have Trump protests or, you know, events every weekend that take over the roads and, you know, cavalcades of 500 Trump cars driving around the county, making noise and shouting at people. I actually sense a lot of the women here are very angry. And a lot of the women here, just like as Lawrence is finding across the country, are going to go out and vote and are going to make their voices heard. And I would share his optimism. I would share his optimism, not just for women, but I also feel even where I live, there have to be enough decent people in America who want a different country. And it's not about, you know, Harris is the best candidate or the Democratic policies matter as much. It's just about human decency. There has to be enough people who have just seen this show go on for 9 disgusting years, and it's gotten worse, and it's gotten progressively more sinister and darker and more racist and more extreme. I have to believe that there are enough Americans who are sick of this and just want to turn the page. And now maybe I wake up next Wednesday morning and I go, no, I was wrong. There are plenty of Americans who want more of the same.
It was interesting, Lawrence, as well, picking up on what Dave said there about not just women who want this, who don't want the Donald Trump triumphalism and the sexism and the xenophobia and the racism, that Michelle Obama last week very much appealed to men that they have to step up on behalf of all of the women in their lives.
Yeah, it was a stunning way to frame the essential question in all of this. You know, how do you talk to this group of men who are into the, you know, the kind of macho strength? I mean, Donald Trump is particularly strong, but he has that image. I mean, how does Harris appeal to that? And Michelle Obama, just a stunning speech. She is an incredible political operator, unfortunately for the Democrats, because she would have been a brilliant candidate. She hates politics, but she framed it in the sense, you know, talking to you men, I mean, vote for the woman in your life that you love, your wife, your daughter. Trump presents a threat to these people. So if you can't do it for yourself, do it for the woman that you love. It was a brilliant way to frame the whole issue. And just talking to Dave's wider point, I mean, you hear this a lot, you know. People say, I do not believe that America will do this. Well, guess what? You know, there are 47% of the people in this country who support Donald Trump.
Nailed on.
These people are not. Nailed on. That's what I mean. 47%. I mean, that's his ceiling. That's, you know, the thing that's, you know, minimum 45, maximum 47. So, I mean, looking ahead, I mean, you have to. Whoever comes in, if Harris wins this, you know, and the body politics in generally, not just Harris, has to look at these people and say, well, what pushed this, you know, 85 million people into the arms of this xenophobe, this just, you know, let's face it, I mean, just unpalatable in kind of a modern society. What pushed those people into his arms? And that has to be addressed, because if it isn't, then this problem will sustain. And there is a huge swathe of the country who perhaps can't articulate what it is, you know, in a strict policy sense, what it is they feel, you know, why they vote for Donald Trump. But there's a, you know, there's a resentment and an anger inside these people. And it's legitimate because it's what they feel. And that really has to be addressed. I mean, I think that is a big thing for her. I'm talking here that she's going to win. Let's face it. I mean, it's going to be pretty tight. But, yeah, it's quite remarkable. But as Dave says, you have to believe. I'm sounding like Kamala Harris here. If you have to believe in the promise of America, you also have to believe that, you know, there is not a majority of the country that wants Donald Trump as president for a second time.
Okay, but Lawrence, the other thing that's interesting, though, is that all of the economic indicators actually show that America has done better than any country in dealing with COVID and having come forward afterwards. If you go back on a longer term over 30 years, America has outperformed any of the other G7 Western nations by a distance. There is more prosperity, except isn't the problem that people feel that this has not been shared. And Trump has been able to play to that by lying about the economy, by saying that it has completely gone to hell.
Yeah, well, a couple of points here, Matt. One, driving around, America is booming right now. I was in Atlanta last week, and it's been the first time in 10, 12 years, and Atlanta is absolutely booming. I can reel off other cities. Grand Rapids in Michigan, a fantastic place. I was in Manhattan for the Trump rally at the weekend. I mean, just booming. It's always been booming, of course. I think of Fort Wayne, Indiana, incredible. Austin, Texas, unbelievable. So America is booming. However, and there are corners of the country, quite a significant part of the country, which has kind of missed out on all of that. And the problem, and this is where Trump has stepped in, is that people, that divergence in wealth was formerly hidden. Not hidden, but you couldn't see it. But the advent of social media, people can now see it. You know, they can see how wealthy or how, you know, how the economy has benefited the other half of the population. Meanwhile, they're stuck in, you know, let's say Springfield, Ohio, or, you know, Bakersfield, California, or, you know, any of these places. And the economic boom, and it really, I mean, it's fair to describe it as an economic boom, has passed these people by. I mean, that's given Trump his, you know, that's given him his wedge. And I hate to use the word genius in connection with this guy, but it is kind of part of his evil genius, is that, you know, he cottoned on to that. Of course, he has no interest in people in Bakersfield, California, or, you know, Gary, Indiana. But however, he has preyed on the, you know, the resentment of these people, which has in turn has been fueled by social media. And lo and behold, here we are, 80 million people are going to vote for the guy. Quite astonishing.
Dave, 8 years ago, Hillary Clinton undermined her own campaign when she gave out about the deplorables, the people who were going to vote for Donald Trump, and a lot of people took exception to that. Is Donald Trump going to be able to weaponize Joe Biden's halting telephone conversation, in which I think he was talking about that guy Tony Hinchcliffe as being the garbage, but has been represented as him saying all those voting for Trump are garbage. Is that actually going to land, given that Biden actually isn't the candidate?
He has weaponized it already. And actually, as I drove home today, I was listening to right-wing talk radio, and they are making the absolute most of that, as they always do. But again, that's only going to go down well with the 47%, the people who, you know, who live in the echo chamber of the Trump-related media. They hear all of this stuff, but that's not going to win any of the floating voters. You know what I mean? That's going to maybe get the 47%. More enraged and more determined to go to the polls and be counted, but I don't think that's going to affect the people in the middle who are the people that are going to decide this.
But David also indicates the cynicism, doesn't it? Because Trump himself has called Harris voters garbage previously. It's just like the complaints last week about how dare I be called fascist. Well, he's been calling Harris fascist on many occasions in recent months. We played audio of that the other night. He's the guy who has called other human beings vermin. He's the guy who goes on about the enemy within and is threatening those who would vote against him. The gaslighting is incredible. But what do you say as well about the media in the United States, which is facilitating that?
Well, can I just say what you about the language? You know, you're talking there about the language he's used and the abuse and the terms that he's used and stuff. What you know, when I talk about the fundamental decency of people, the coarsening of public life in the last 9 years and the coarsening of public discourse, I drive to school every morning and I go down this beautiful suburban street and I pass a house that has a huge F. Harris flag. I mean, this thing is six by three. It's the most beautiful, idyllic, white picket fence, American scene. And there's just a sign. And obviously, I'm not going to swear. I don't want to get you fined or whatever. You swear on radio. But like, it's not F. Harris. It's F-U-C-K Harris spelt out. And my kids are waiting at the bus stop, you know, for the yellow school bus. It's the idyllic suburban scene. And it's fine. Like, people now think that, and I mean,
that's the way, free, like, speech, Dave, isn't it? Even if it's offensive, well, it's, you know, all the free speech advocates.
I moved here 25 years ago, and to me, if you said to me, Americans would frown at me for swearing too much when I first moved here. I'd be pulled up in cafes and stuff for dropping too many F-bombs. Now it's waving for outside people's houses. And my point is, that would never have happened. You had people who despised George Bush. You had people who didn't like Obama. The idea of like a flag like that, that to me is the Trump effect. And the, you know, again, you listen to the media discussions, the language is so vile and it's so extreme. And it's not like I disagree with their position on this or I disagree with this. Like, you know, when you listen to to Fox News and Newsmax and the Red State Network and, you know, WABC Radio here in New York, they're talking about Kamala Harris is not trying to win the presidency. She's trying to destroy America. She's trying to take over your home. She is trying to destroy the American dream. It's not that she's trying to do anything positive. It's that she's absolutely, you know, they talk about her being a communist.
I've also got a text message in here that's called me Communist Cooper. And another one saying, looking forward to seeing all ye lefties sobbing next week. Trump 24. So, Lawrence Donegan, you'll be with us from Mar-a-Lago on Tuesday and Wednesday's programmes for us. Do you think, will you be sobbing down there?
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you, I'm sobbing to discover that Dave Hannigan is listening to right-wing talk radio. That makes me sob.
For research purposes only.
All right.
There you go. I don't think so. But again, it's going to be close. We'll see. It's going to be pretty. I hate to use.
But if it's close, Trump and his fans will say it's been stolen from them, and they'll point to things like the betting markets, which are easily manipulated, and then they'll be trying to have witch hunts against those who are counting the votes.
Well, that's already started. Again, I've been saying all along, don't look at the polls, look at behaviour, and I think we're seeing more and more of it in the last couple of days. Trump and the Trump campaign is starting to moan about rigged results and, you know, this and that, and the next thing is going on and, you know, they're trying to fix it. So, again, look at behaviours. I mean, if you're winning, you're not starting to complain about the way that the vote is being conducted. So that's certainly one thing. But that will certainly be, I mean, you can, the pretext for the post election day campaign to overturn the results. The big danger is, I mean, it's already underway. The big danger is the courts. I mean, ultimately, I mean, if you go back to 2000, the Gore-Bush went all the way to the Supreme Court where a 5-4 Republican majority stopped the recount in Florida and basically stole the election for George Bush. And I'm not suggesting that anybody's listening to this should go back and read the Gore-Bush Supreme Court ruling, but if you wanted to see something so, you know, outrageously unfair and hypocritical, go and read that. That election was stolen, just as the 1960 election was stolen. So I'm sure we're going to get into that after the election,
Oh, we'll have some fun next week. Lawrence Donegan, Dave Hannigan, thank you.
The Last Word on Today FM.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello!
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.